Okay, Pasuk Aleph. Vayomru el Moshe. This is a very scary pasuk. Vayomru Moshe Hamibli ein kivonim b'mitzrayim lekachtem l'musvam inbar. Okay, I have some satire. Satire. How often do you find in the Torah? I don't know, satire, but it's like, you know, usually the Torah is very literal, and here, you know, there's a use of expression. There's a richness to the statement. And, you know, if we were writing the text, what would we say? Vayomer Moshe, they said to Moshe, Lama lekachtanu lamus bamidbar. Why is it necessary to say these words? Hamibli ein kivonim b'mitzrayim. I think everyone would be very satisfied if the Torah would not record these four words. 1, 2, 3, 4. All the pasuk needs to say is Vayomer Moshe. Just say lama lekachtanu lamus bamidbar. These words are not necessary to say Hamibli in Kavodim Mitzrayim. There are not enough cemeteries. This is something which is like, it's not something you'd expect the Torah to write. The Torah is not poetry. It's not here to give you expressions and go look at clever statements. The Torah just says it the way it is. Torah says the facts. It's not so usual for the Torah to come along and add something like this. Hamibli ein kvanim b'mishrayim. There are not enough graves in Egypt. L'gachtem l'mos v'amidbar ma'azayis sasis l'adin l'yotzim b'mishrayim. So let's see over here what it says over here at Unkos. Spinklus over here says, on this pasuk, v'amaru l'moshe, they said to Moshe, hamidleis kivrin b'mitzrayim. Is it because there is a lack of graves in Egypt? The Devar Tono. Now, what does it mean, Devar Tono? Okay, Devar Tono means to take, like a Dabar. A Dabar means Dalad Beis Resh. Dalad Beis Resh always means to lead us. Is it because there's a lack of graves in Egypt? Did you lead us to die lim mas bimad bira? To die in the desert? Moda avadita lana, what have you done to us? Le apakosuna min Mitzrayim, what have you done to us to take us out of Egypt? So right over here, it would appear the time over here is pretty straightforward. It's pretty straightforward. He said to Moshe, what have you done to us? Is there a lack of graves? Did you lead us to die in the desert? What have you done to us that you took us out of Egypt? Rashi, Hamibli and Kivodim, Vichy Machmas Chesroin Kivodim, She'ein Kivodim, Bimitzrayim Likover Sham, Lekachtonu Misham. Okay, now here, what is this? She Pur Pelinsa Dinun Pushish Blas. I have no idea what that means. Alright, so this
We have to get Mechol.
This is old French, and they're lacking. Obviously, it means. Is there a lack of graves?
You're saying something very interesting. Who was this who said to Moshe Hamibli?
That's part of my question.
Yeah, I mean, there were 600,000. Let's say there were 60,000 men. Let's say 10,000 came to complain. Let's say even 2,000 came to complain.
Let's say even 10 came to complain.
Everybody's yelling to complain.
Exactly.
Who's yelling out? Mibli and,
exactly. It's a very bizarre thing. I don't know. It's a very bizarre thing for them to say. And even if they said it, well, the Torah tells you every conversation that a person has with his wife. They tell you what Moshe had for supper every night. What Moshe said to Zipporah. They tell you all the conversations. The Torah just tells you the facts, the way they are. And you're telling me over here a statement that Mibli and Kvanim Mitzrayim, and as exactly what you said, there were 600,000 men, and if they're all complaining, everyone has a different complaint, everyone expresses their complaint in a different way. This is a quotation from one person? What's going on here? I do not know. Okay, I do not know. Let's go further. We're going to look into all the Mepharshim. Look over here, even just over here in Sepharia, there are 52 Perushim on this that they bring down for you on this pasuk. Okay, we're not gonna go through. I mean, that's not what the shir is about. On this one, there's actually 30 mepharshim. Okay, the Chasam Sofer tells you Torah over here. Not on this pasuk. I have to go Hamibli over here. You have a. I don't even know what the Minchas Osher. What's that? Birchas Osher. don't know what that is. Berachas Osher. I'm sure if you dig deep enough, you see, it's amazing how you have your fingertips. Everything. Mamash, everything. Even the Chamlibowitz they have here. Okay, everything over here. And this is just one website. Okay, there are other websites and even more. Alright, but we're looking over here, Chumash, Rashi, Unkelus. Halayzeh HaDavar. Okay, now we're coming over here back to taking all the first in one shot over here. Wow, look at that, unbelievable. Halayzeh HaDavar Shedibarni Lecha B'Mitzrayim. Isn't this what we said? Halayzeh, is this not HaDavar Shedibarni Lecha B'Mitzrayim? What we said to in Egypt saying, Chadal Mimendu V'Nav Dalas Mitzrayim, leave us alone. Chadal means leave us alone, and we will serve Egypt. It's better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die by Midbar. Okay, let's see the tag. The tag is Halo Dein Piskama. The word Dovar is like the Piskam. Di Malelna Imach V'Mitzrayim. That we complained that we spoke the word Malelna means that we have spoke with you in Egypt. L'neimar saying Shavoik Mi Nana. Leave us alone. Shavoik means to leave. Mi Nana means us. And the Niflach will worship Yos Mitzrae. Now this is very interesting. Are Tav Lona the Niflach Yos Mitzrae midimnus that we shall die by Midbara. Now first, what does it mean over here? Is to serve as Mitzrae. What do you mean serve? What does it mean serve? Serve over here means to worship them, or serve means that we should act as avodim. Avodim hoyinu lefaro. So the pasuk over here is to serve as a slave. Yet, what's interesting over here is it's not the word of the Targum. The Targum word is word v'niflach. V'niflach means a religious service. So this is a very difficult pasuk. I think this is a very difficult thing to take over here. We're going to have to come back this one second. Because again, if you want to talk about being a slave, if I'm not mistaken, the Aramaic word for a slave is not the word v'niflach. The word v'niflach has a ring, a connotation of a religious service. The Jews were not worshipping the Egyptians. If anything, they were worshipping the Nile. They were worshipping the Pantheon. They were not worshipping the Egyptians. So why then so different? When the pasuk over here says that it would have been better for us to serve in Egypt, it means to serve as a slave to a master in Egypt. And the master serves whatever idol he wants, and the slave does whatever he wants. He doesn't have to go worship the god of the Egyptians. And certainly the slave is not bowing down every single day to view his master as his god. So why then does the Unkelus use the word v'niflach? It would have been better for us, leave us alone, chadal mimenu, v'navda, and we will bow shmona esrei every single day, pray to our master. That's how the Targum translates the word v'navoid. V'navoid is v'niflach, which has a ring to it that we're going to every single day bow down to our Egyptian master. That is not correct. So let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi over here says, Asher dibarnu elecha be'eretz Mitzrayim. We spoke to you in what's called Asher be'eretz Mitzrayim. What's going over here? What's called over? Hello, is that Asher dibarnu elecha be'Mitzrayim lemar? Something doesn't make sense over here. There's something over here that's not correct, because over here in this Rashi it says Asher dibarnu elecha be'eretz Mitzrayim. It doesn't say the word eretz over here. It says v'Mitzrayim. Where did this dibur hamaschil inject the word eretz into this sentence? It says, and over here it injects the word Eretz. There is no Eretz. I don't know over here where they got this Rashi from. This Dibra Masel. There's anyone over here in our audience have a Chumash in front of them? No, you don't have to. But anyone have an audience in front of a Chumash that says over here the word Eretz? Maybe I should look at my Rashi over here. Let me see. Parshas Mishpatim. Okay, what is it over here? It says over here, this is Pasuk Yud Beis over here, it says, Asher Dibarnu Elecha V'Mitzrayim. So I'm assuming it's a typo. I'm assuming here there's a typo, because over here, my Chumash over here does not say the word Eretz. Over here in the Dibur HaMaskel, in this Rashi, over here it says Eretz Mitzrayim. Ve'echen did what he speak, Yere Hashem Aleichem V'Yishpoit. Okay, amazing Rashi. All the different complaints that the Jewish people made to Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim, which one is the one that we are referring to over here, where Klal Yisrael, they complained to Moshe, is where they said to Moshe, may God strike you down. Yishvayt, Yere Hashem Aleichem v'yishvayt. Amazing. Because there were a lot of times they said to Moshe, leave us alone. This was when it got really, really bad. They didn't just say to Moshe, leave us alone. They said, may God judge you and may God punish you for what you brought upon us. Is that what it says in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Halezeh ha-davar asher dibarnu elecha v'mitzrayim. We have spoken to you in Egypt, saying, Chadal mimenu, leave us alone, v'navdo es mitzrayim. How does the word chadal mimenu, leave us alone, and let us worship the country of Mitzrayim, how is that translated into, may our God judge you? May he look upon you, Moshe, to see your cruelty, and may he judge you. What? My Indian Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. How did these two go together? I don't know. We got to think about this. They said to Moshe, maybe the Jewish people, they really did want to leave Egypt. And the reason why they said these words to Moshe was because he was making things worse. His technique in dealing with the situation is not working, has backfired. So they said, may God judge you and punish you for making life for us more miserable. But if we can find a leader who can come into this country and do something good for us and let us get out of this country, we will embrace him and we'll be very, very happy to leave the country. So when Rashi over here is quoting this pasuk, Yer Hashem Yalecha V'yishpoit, it would not appear at face value to be the correct pasuk that has been conveyed in the words of Chadal Mimenu V'Navdo Es Mitzrayim. Okay, so I don't know, this requires more understanding. Mimusenu, then we should die. Me'asher Nomos, the Mem means Me'asher. This one letter over here, Mem, refers to an entire concept. Ben the Mishadar Meshanamos. Vimhoyanokul milofum. Now in Rashi's vernacular, the word cholam, if I'm not mistaken, a cholam means mo, as in the name Mo. Do you know anyone by the name of Mo? I know a guy whose name is Mo. Mo. Mi mo seinu. If you put a vav in between the letter mem and the letter sof, then the pronunciation will be mi mo seinu. That's called a milufim. That's Rashi's vocabulary. Me'asher nomos v'im toim arim hoyenokin milofum with a cholam hoyeniv hoyenivar. It would be explained. The word niver means it would be explained. Mi so seinu. That. Mimi Soseinu. Let's go further. I don't know what this means exactly. Achshav Shenokud Bishuruk. Now that it says Mimuseinu and not Mimoseinu, a shuruk is the same in our vocabulary as well. Three dots. Nivar means Me'asher. Nivar means it is explained to me. Me'asher, rather than dying. Rather. The word Me'asher means rather than dying. V'chein mi yitein musenu, same word over here, mi yitein musenu, rather than we die, shen amos. V'chein mi yitein musi, didav sholem she amos. K'mo liyom kumi lo'ad, ad yom shuvi v'sholem she akum she ashov. What's the alternative? The alternative is, we say mi mosenu, said rather, mi so senu, from our death. Let's go back to the pasuk. What will be the alternative? Halazeh halvashar dibarnu lecha l'mitzrayim le'machadam meiru v'navdas mitzrayim ki toiv lanu avod mitzrayim. It's better that we shall be slaves to Egypt, than mi mi soseinu, than our death. In the desert, mimi sosein. I think the only difference is it a noun or is it? I'm using the word noun very loosely, or is it a verb? A verb. Mimu seinu is the act of dying. Mimi sosein is the state of being dead. So. Over here, it's very interesting what he's saying, according to the Stik and Rashi, the complaint of Klal Yisrael is not the fact that we're going to die. Maybe this will come to answer the mystery of why it says, Hamibli en kivonim b'mitzrayim. What are they afraid of? Are they afraid of being dead? Or are they afraid of dying? Ask the average person, what are they afraid of? Are they afraid of the state of being dead? Or are they afraid of the activity of dying?
What's dying?
That's what a person's afraid of? Ask the average person. Tell them to think about it for 10 days.
If you're dead, everyone's going to be dead.
Ah! You're saying a good word. So everyone's going to die also. What kind of answer is that? Everyone's going to be dead. Everyone's going to die.
But everyone dies differently.
Oh, so everyone's dead differently. According to our moon, there are some people that are in Gehenna, and there are some people like you that go to Gan Eden. All different types of people that are dead. Some people are buried in mausoleums. Some people are buried under the ground. Some people are cremated. All different types of matzavim. So, yes, the average person, to think very deeply, what are they afraid of? They're afraid of being in a state of being dead, or they're afraid of the activity. What are the activities for today? We have breakfast, we have lunch, and then we have exercise, and we have the activity of dying. It's an activity. It's a verb. Or is it the state? I don't know. I guess everyone is different. Rashi over here seemingly is coming to make exactly that point. They're saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, what have you done to us? Leave us alone, let us be slaves. It's better for us to be a slave than to go through the activity of death. In other words, they're both verbs. They're telling Moshe Rabbeinu, if you give us a choice, we have a choice. We can leave out. What do you want to do today? You want to go to great adventures, or you want to go to the park? You want to go to a baseball game, or you want to go to a football game? You want to play soccer or volleyball? So give us a slaves? We'll wash the dishes. We'll dig irrigation canals. We will build a piece of it, build pyramids. That's one activity you can do. Or you can go through the activity of dying, of miserable death. What kind of miserable death? Being subject to being vulnerable in the desert, and when there's nothing to do, you have no way of protecting yourself, and you're subject to the brutality of the enemy that's going to murder the person. So what they're complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu is not about, is we have activities. We can either have the activity of doing crushing labor in Egypt versus the activity of a painful, tortured death in the desert. We would rather suffer as slaves than go through this activity of die a brutal death that's going to happen to us now in the desert. That's what Rashi appears seemingly seeing this is saying. And what would be the alternative that Rashi rejects? It would be better for us to be slaves in Egypt versus being in a state of dead, being people who are dead in the desert. Rashi says that's ridiculous. You're going to die anyway. What kind of choice is that? It's better for us to suffer versus be dead people in the desert. It would be better. Is it really true that it's better to suffer than just to there's a lot of philosophy over here. Well, Rashi said that.
That's what they said. They didn't just say it now. They said it in the shrine. They said it already before.
Now you have to go back. One thing at a time. Let's first understand what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying there are two ways to read this word. It's either it's a noun.
Yeah, whatever way you say it, but this is something that they already complained about in Mitzrayim. They're repeating it again now.
Okay, fine. But I just want to point out what Rashi is saying.
Wait a second. Now our question becomes a different question.
Yeah.
Who needs the previous pasuk? What does the previous pasuk do?
Vayarel Moshe, I'm beginning Rabbi Moshe, I'm going to learn my mazas, I'm going to learn my mazas.
What do you mean then? You just say it straight.
I told you, that was our question, exactly. And then the end of us, you're right, I don't know, I don't know. You're right, I don't know.
You should have been straight.
Okay, I don't know.
This is what we talked about.
You're right, you're right. I don't know. I don't know. These are all dirty. We're just let's focus on the Rashi and Unklus. There are a lot of questions to ask. But let's just focus. Rashi and Unklus are two different translations of the word of Mimu Sein. Okay, they're giving us two different translations over here. Over here in the Ma'at Sari, does he explain? Okay, Azoiv Zeniflach Targum Loshem Hakosav Avoid Kamar Asher Not Avoid Mimuseinu Me'asher Namos. Alright, he doesn't really say very much over here. Alright, so it would see what we have. Let's go look at the Targum. What does the Targum over here say? Nachmo the Targum. Maybe we see appreciate the Targum better. Haloidein Piskamodi Malilna Imach B'Mitzrayim L'Neimar Shvoik Minana Zeniflach Yos Mitzrayim. Will worship the Egyptians. Are tavlona, it's better for us, the niflach yos mitzray, midinmus. It seems that the Targum is saying something as Rashi. Midinmus is the activity of dying, not being in a state of death, but the activity. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayoymer Moshalom, al tiro, do not be afraid. Hisyatsu, stand firm. Uru and witness, as Yeshua Hashem, the salvation, asher yaseh lechem hayoyim. What he will do for you today, ki, because asher yisemes mishraim hayoyim, there's a second time it says the word hayoyim, loy so sifun lir oysom ad oylar. Okay, now Moshe Rabbeinu over here appears to be a psychologist. It's very, very interesting, especially very relevant in today's day and today. They're complaining. They are bitter complaints. What are their complaints? They say, hamilim from the mishraim. Halozeh hadavar, we cursed you out already. Chadal menav v'sham ki toivu av v'sham v'sham b'midbar. Does it say anywhere in Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis that the Klal Yisrael was afraid? Does it make any mention here that it was pachad, it was terror, that we were afraid? Don't say anything. It does say that. You have to go back over here. It says, I made a mistake. It does say. It's in Pasuk Yud. It says, Ufaro yehikrif, Paro came near. Okay, Vayisu Dreshos and Sene Vayinim Shem Nosiacharehem Vayi Ru Meoid. Okay, Vayitzaku Vneshol Hashem. Now, it says here they were afraid. However, did they express this fear to Moshe? It says they were afraid and they dived into Hashem. Did Moshe Rabbeinu know? Did they in their words, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, did they in any moment give away a fact that they were afraid? No, it doesn't seem so. It doesn't seem that anywhere over here that they said to Moshe Rabbeinu that we are afraid. They just complained. Moshe Rabbeinu, let's make an assumption. Maybe I'm wrong. That the fear was in their hearts, and they expressed their fear to Hashem. But to Moshe Rabbeinu, they put on a macho attitude. We're fine. We're not afraid to die. We're not afraid of anything. It just Moshe. He made a bad political decision. You made a bad decision. You, a leader, you took us out of Egypt, and now we're going to die. And we're not afraid to die. We're tough. We're heroes. We're martyrs. We're heroes. We're going to go down the Kiddush Hashem. But Moshe, you made a bad decision. You made a bad decision. And therefore, Moshe, shame on you. Hamidli and Mitzrayim, he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu with chutzpah, nastiness. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a very smart person, and he was a psychologist. And he knew that the complaints are only coming forth because they are afraid. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to identify the root of their complaints. It's not the complaint. There's something else bothering you. This is so common. Every time someone complains, some of the complaints people make in all different types of situations are so petty. They're so irrational and just nonsense. And what are they really, when they make these complaints, what are they really, there's really something, an underlying cause for them to act out in the way that they do. And a wise person is able to see underneath the hood and understand why they're behaving the way they're making these petty complaints or saying certain things. It's because of another underlying condition. Many times it's because the person wants recognition. They want kavod. They didn't give him an aliyah. You didn't give a person enough kavod, so they make they act out. Sometimes because they're hungry, children. Okay, any parent will tell you that if a child begins to act out, it's because he's hungry. And once you put some glucose into his blood, all of a sudden becomes a different child. Okay, we once had Rabbi Dr. Fried. Remember many years ago he came to Yoshiva by us? I see him now pretty often. He comes around here now because he has a son who lives in the way I'm giving the shir. His son lives next door, mamish next door. No, two houses down. And he comes here very often now. He comes here to visit his son. He's here for Shabbos. So I see him pretty often. And I remember when he gave us a shir many years ago. In Kol, gave a shir. He said that he's a very big child psychologist. And he said that if the kids don't have breakfast, they misbehave. Because when you don't have food, children don't have glucose, it causes them to do irrational things. So you have a teacher and the kids are not behaving. Why are they not behaving? The cause is an underlying condition. They're hungry. They didn't eat today. Sometimes people, they misbehave because they want attention. They want to be the corpse at every funeral and the ghoul at every wedding. And sometimes people, they want, other things bother them and they say irrational things. Here is exactly the same. The people here are making irrational statements. Why are they saying this? Moshe Rabbeinu was able to uncover the root of their misbehavior. They are afraid. They're terrorized. And when you can take away the pachad, the fear, automatically they won't say these things. They won't behave in such a way. So Moshe says to them, Halozeh HaDavar. So what does Moshe say? Al Tiro. He doesn't go and give them these logical arguments and say, no, it would be better for you to die as a hero, as a martyr, Al Kiddush Hashem, than to be a slave in Egypt. He doesn't go into a philosophical discussion and bring out his rational arguments. Moshe Rabbeinu cuts through all of the nonsense and he goes to the root. What's the problem here? You're afraid. You're afraid. If I can show you that there's nothing to be afraid, all of your arguments all of a sudden disappear. It's not that they disappear. They don't disappear. You can make the same argument. You can make the same argument even if I take away the fear. The difference is you're not going to argue because you're going to have emunah. Lech teich acharai b'amidbar b'yeretz lo zeruah. Why are you not expressing the lech teich acharai b'amidbar b'yeretz lo zeruah? Because you're afraid. It's not the argument. It's the emotion that needs to be addressed in this case. And Moshe is able to do that. V'yem Moshe lo al tiro and siatzu stand firm. Don't be afraid. V'ho ikar shaloi lefached. What does it say? Shaloi lefached oit. The famous song. V'ho ikar shaloi meir. How does it go, meir?
Lefached
klal. Shaloi lefached klal. That's from Rav Nachman Breslov. Shaloi lefached klal. And that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. He's not addressing their arguments. Al tirahu hisyatsu, be firm. U'u es yisuras Hashem, asher yaseh lechem hayom, ki asher ritz mishram, hayom lo stivu l'oros ma'ad olam. Targum. V'ma Moshe la'ama, lo sit chalun. Don't be afraid. Is atodu. Okay, that's a good word. Is atodu. That's the word for hisyatsu. And here, what does it say in this sefer? In this sefer, it says, does it say anything about Yud Gimel? I'm looking over here quickly. Yud Gimel, lately, I'm not hitting the home runs here with this sefer lately. I'm not finding what I want. It doesn't say anything over here. Stand still. Look at the miracle, the redemption, the salvation that Hashem will do to you today. Dain because, arei. Just like yas mitzra, just like you see them today, Loi soisfun lunecha zehoin oid ad olma. You'll never see them ever again, these evil Egyptians. Okay. Now, by the way, you know, that would be that's also, like I said, this passing really is what's going on in the world today. Okay, today you have everyone is fighting over the matzah of the situation. And a lot of the fighting is not rational. It's not rational. People in both sides of the camp, both sides of the debate, there should be lockdowns, not lockdowns. You should wear an N95 mask. Now they have a new rule. Now the CDC can say now, all the masks that we have, here is the latest gzera is that the masks that we have, they're no good. Everyone has to upgrade to the N95 mask. It's a waste of time to wear there.
Fauci bought himself stock in textiles.
Now we have to get new masks. The masks are no good. We have to annihilate gzera. Okay, so everyone's fighting Azoy, this. And if you listen carefully, no one makes any sense. Everyone says irrational things. Why? Why isn't it? Because there's an underlying element. And what's the underlying element? I don't know. It's different for everyone. This pacha, that's for sure. There are people out there that are really, really scared. Tremendous pacha. Man, the average person has incredible pacha. And then no question influences what people think and what they say. And there are people influenced by money. And there are people influenced by COVID. People control and money. And anti-establishment people. People on the other side of the camp. What is the argument? You're not thinking correctly. You have to be careful with medical advice. And the reason why, these were all accused. I heard this very analysis. The people who are the anti-vaxxers, a lot of it comes from this underlying condition of being anti-establishment. Does that taint your thinking? Okay, and does fear taint your thinking in the other direction? Does money, does cover, does this, does that? Who knows what? No one knows how the mind works. MS. To find the MS is very hard. And Moshe Rabbeinu is brilliant. Moshe Rabbeinu, I hear all your arguments. So what? Nothing has changed. You could have made the same argument before we left. You could make the same argument after everything is fine and good. There's something else that's fueling your frustration. And that is fear. And if you'll remove the fear from your heart, then you can think about the situation in a different perspective. And all the questions will remain. And it will be a question for you of emunah. And you'll be able to think straight. That's what I think over here is going on in this Rashi. I think over here there's something very deep over here. Now let's see the Rashi. Rashi, ki asher isim esrayim, ma asher isim oisam einim ela hayoyim. This that you see is only today. Hayoyim hu sheri isim oisam, v'lo yisoy sifu oid no longer. Now Rashi is a very, very important. It's really, if you look carefully, it's exactly what the Targum did. If not for this Rashi, if not for the Targum, I would not translate the pasuk in this fashion. I would have translated the pasuk in an entirely different fashion. I would say, "Vayomer Shalom al tirahu, don't be afraid, it's Yahtzur, Ures Yishus Hashem, Asher Yaseh Lochem Hayem, that he's going to do for you today." Okay, that's so far, no one argues on that. But here's the next part. Ki Asher Yisem Mitzrayim Hayoyim, if not for Rashi, I would say, the pasuk is translated, this, look what you see today. Look what you see today. What you're seeing today, you will not see tomorrow. So the word hayoyim, I would assume, is going back on the word ki asher isem es mitzrayim hayoyim. Don't take the word hayoyim and separate it from the words ki asher isem es mitzrayim. No, don't. The word hayoyim, especially even with the Tamei HaMikra, it's mapach pashto kotoyim, it goes together with the word re'isem et shayim hayoyim. Look outside. What do you see? You see the Egyptians. You're not going to see this again, ever in your life. That's how I would translate the words. Rashi says they're making a mistake. That's not the way you translate the pasuk. Even though the Tamei HaMikra may indicate the word hayoyim is part of the word Mitzrayim, it's not correct. Ki asher isem es mitzrayim, period. look out the window, and you see out the window, you see the Egyptians. Now, we're going to make an entirely separate statement. Hayoim! It's only today you see them, and not tomorrow. The word Hayoim, according to Rashi, is part of the second expression. And according to Rashi, it really should be that the trop on the word Hayom should be different. It should be a mercha, tipcha, munach, esnach. The two dots on top of the word Hayom is an indication that the word Hayom is to be connected back to the previous expression. Rashi clearly disagrees. Rashi, the word Hayom is to be connected to the next expression. It's what Hayom you're seeing then, but not tomorrow. It's not just a statement of the fact, look, you see the Egyptians today outside. You're not going to see them tomorrow. That's not what Rashi says. The Rashi says, Ma shari'isem oisam, einai ela hayoim. Einai ela hayoim, hayoim hu shari'isem oisam, v'loi soisifu od. Rashi is clearly putting a separation between the word Mitzrayim and the word hayoim. Put the word hayoim. Now you go back to the Targum, and now you can appreciate that that's also exactly what the Targum said. Targum said, Moshe said to them, Maybe not. You see, maybe we got something, we got machlekas. Jackpot. Maybe we finally got a jackpot. Again, the whole Hanah is to show machlekas between Rashi and Unkelus. I think maybe we hit the jackpot over here. Right? May you're laughing? Baruch Hashem, someone's laughing. Okay, good. L'choin arei k'mo d'chazei sun yas mitzroye yoy modein. Yoy modein. Lo sosfun l'mechazei hoin ad olma. Could be. I think the Targum seems to say more like with the trop. The trop puts the word k'mo d'chazei sun. Do you see yas mitzroye yoy modein? On this day, Rashi read that. He read the translation of the Targum, and he said, Unkelus, you got it wrong again. Nochemol, you got it wrong. The word Hayoim is not part of the beginning, it's part of the end. Ma shri'isem oisom, this that you see them, in Ela Hayoim. Hayoim hu shri'isem oisom, v'loi soisifu od. The second half of Rashi clarifies with an intensity that the word Hayoim is part of the second statement. Why is Rashi coming to comment on these words and not comment on any other part of the Pasuk? Why? Because of our principle, Rashi is not here to toot his own horn. Rashi here is to dissect Unkelus. And if he doesn't like what Unkelus says, he lets you know it. Unkelus, you got it wrong once again. So, you see, we accomplished something today. We made more machlokes in this world. Just what we need. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Hashem yilochem lochem v'yatem tachal yishun. Short pasuk. Hashem will fight for you, and you will be silent. Is that a command? Or is that a statement of fact? Let's see what it says in Unkelus. Hashem yilochem lochem, Hashem Yigiach. It's like an axe. Is that a strange word for Yilochem Lochem? Yigiach. There are no words in the Targum for war. Yigiach is not, you mean Shor Shenogach Esapar. An axe that gores the cow. Hashem's gonna gore, that's what war is all about. War, you gore with your horns? Is that what it means? Yigiach Lochain. Kirov, I made a mistake here. The word Kirov is war. He puts it in bold here. Why does he do that? Hashem Yagiach L'choin Kirov, battle. He puts it in bold. Ve'atun tishtekun. Let's see Rashi. Yilochem Lochem. Oh, this is going to be a big machlokes between Rashi and Unkelus. Another home run. Hashem yilochem lochem b'shvilchem. Hashem will fight on your behalf. V'chein, ki Hashem nilchem lochem, v'chein im lo'el t'rivun, V'chein v'asher diber li, v'chein atem t'rivun l'bal. All of these things mean bishvilchem. Okay, now let's go to Unklus again and see what's going on over here. Hashem yilochem, Hashem yigiach l'choin. L'choin means for you, kirov. I think by adding the word kirov, he's indicating the word lochem does not mean on your behalf. It means Hashem will fight the war. Hashem will fight the Quran. Now let me look over here at the Ma'atzari. Maybe he will help us to decipher the depth of what Unkelus is coming to argue about. Here, this is Pasuk Yud Dalet. So here in Pasuk Yud Dalet, come on, they only have nothing on Yud Dalet here. That's not fair. It's not fair. Imam is not fair. He doesn't have any comments on Pasuk Yud Dalet. So disappointed. I have another Sefer Mishnah over here. I have to check out what that Sefer says. Maybe I'll start using that also here. I think there's something deep over here. I can't put my finger on it. But I think there's a machlokes in Rashi and Unkelus. The word yigiach, the word krov means war, battle. Yigiach means to gore, like an ox gores. And I don't know why, but the person who wrote the editor of this Sefaria, they put the word krov in bold, as if to say it doesn't belong here. How can you say the word doesn't belong? The word krov is really the translation of the word yilochem, battle. But on the other hand, what is over here the word yigiach? What is that doing over here? That's the word that should be in bold. The whole thing should be in bold. I don't know what's going on. What do you think over here? But it seems Hashem will yigiach l'choin perov, will fight the battle, will fight for you the battle, and you'll be silent. Rashi says Hashem will fight on your behalf. Hashem yilochem lochem, Hashem will fight the battle. I don't know, I can't really figure this out. The word yigiach, Hashem, yigiach l'choin kirov, Hashem will fight the battle for you and you'll be silent. And Rashi says, Hashem yilochem lochem bishvilchem. He does not even comment on the word lochem. He just says Hashem will fight lochem. Unless you want to say a chiddush, which really is not, you can't say such a chiddush, is lochem means battle. Ridiculous. How can you say that? Lochem, yilochem means war, battle. You will fight, yilochem. And lochem means bishvilchem. Targum seems to be saying is Hashem yigiach l'choin, that's part of Hashem yilochem. Kirov, if I would really want to say sheker in Torah, I would say that the Targum is translating the word lochem to mean the battle. Is there such a thing to say the word lochem means battle? Okay, milchama is spelled with a ches, not with a chaf. So could there be such a thing that the Targum means Hashem will fight the war? Will fight the war. And you will be silent. And that will mean that the Targum will have to translate the word lochem as meaning the war. Hashem will fight. Yilochem is the verb. And lochem is the noun. He will fight the war. And you will be silent. Can you say such a thing? I don't think so. But that's what the Targum seems to be saying. Rashi immediately rejects any notion by saying, I don't know what you're talking about to even make that suggestion. The word lochem means one thing only, the subject. Klalishon bishvilchem. That forces us to be critical and look at the Targum where it seems almost the word lochem means Kirov. And you got to be a real, real biblical linguist to know if there's any makar to say such a thing, that the word lochem has any relation to the word war. and that would result in an over-the-top machloikis between Rashi and Unkelus. But I don't know if this is correct. All right, we're going to stop over here. Thank you so much for coming. Enjoy your evening. Thanks, Blazer. Thanks for coming, Ezra, Mayor, Gladders.
Shut up,
and Mr. Forrest, how you doing? How are you feeling?
Well, don't we say that? I mean, lechem is from what, like bread is from.
L'chu lachamu b'lachmi. L'chu lachamu b'lachm. But lechem with a ches also means bread. Lechem means lamed ches. Lamed ches mem has two meanings: bread and war. People fight wars over sustenance, food, survival. But the word lochem means for you, means simply, like Rashi says, lochem bishvilchem. But if I'm not mistaken, the Targum, I have to, you know, really analyze. He doesn't say anything. I'm very disappointed. He doesn't say anything over here. And this save, that would be the perfect place to look. He doesn't say anything to say the word lochem means anything other. He is that word. He is Woodcroft. Well, let's look at the Mefarshim. I have all the Mefarshim. Let's see if I have a quick over here. Anything in the Mefarshim that say anything, indicate anything otherwise. Tacharishu lochem lochem perish l'tzad shapachat shnav aleim. No, the Arachayim is not going there. Lochem ba'avurchem. You see what Ibn Ezra says? Ba'avurchem, like Rashi. V'kocha kol mulchama sh'acharech la'amid hi la'azor al-kach perish ra'ayu sh'akoyin. Ki rabim lochemim li maroi b'shvili tam maroi mulchames maroim. Okay, so far nothing. Nothing here. Or Chaim is not going to say this nice type of stuff. Bavurchem. Everyone is saying Bavurchem. Okay. Vayitar. Rashi. Lochem b'shvilchem. Lochem b'shvilchem. Everyone says b'shvilchem. Okay. V'chein aleichem. Shem Ephraim. Shem Olu Rashi. V'vushem. Isik Shem Olu Rashi. What's this? V'kosh Lolo Lolo Rashi. V'vavarak Lolo Malo. Al B'nei Shol. V'chein aleichem. No. Okay. Let's see, anything else over here? Scanning it. Like Moshe Shatem Sam Bze Shashama Kabu. Nilcham Imam Chizayin. No. Rosh Tevos Shame Yud. This is Kabul here. Okay. No. Shilchem, Lochem, Yudukinis Adin, Himlchemes. No, I don't see it. Or Hadrash, Hoyah Shilchem, Lochem, Kikim, and Shur Makas Bukhiros. No. Shilchem, no. Ayin Shilchemes. No. Okay, everything over here does not give any remnants to say such a thing. But I'm not making this up, because look what it says over here in the Targum. Hashem yogiach l'choin kirov. Why is he eating? Why are there two words here? Yogiach and kirov. Ezra, you see what's bothering me?
Yeah.
It should just say, yeah. Hashem yogiach l'choin.
Yeah.
What's the kirov? Hashem yilochem.
Lochem.
What's the word kirov doing here? And also, why does he use the word?
Corrupt, like a battle, no?
Yes, so what, that's not necessary. Hashem will fight. What's the giach?
Hashem, lachem, 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 tachrishon. Hashem, yagiach, lachem, corrupt.